Hey, it's Johnny Jett. Welcome back to my podcast YouTube channel. Please subscribe if you're not already. And today we have the cruise guy, Stuart Chiron, who's been on how many cruises? 300?
Well, almost 300. It'll be 289 right now.
289. And you told me that your kids have been on over 80?
Over 80 each.
And how old are your kids?
21 and 19.
Wow. And when did they start cruising, by the way?
6 months.
6 months.
6 months old.
Oh my gosh. So actually, we're going to go into that a little bit later, like which cruises are great for kids and things like that. But, you know, since COVID's going on, I mean, how are the cruises doing? Are they back?
Well, I've actually done 13 now since June.
Since June? Yeah,
since June. So been on a lot of sailings around the world, Caribbean, Mediterranean, Mexico. And it's been quite an experience, a lot of hoops to jump through, especially on the first sailings. And, you know, I had to pack a lot of patience because of all the requirements. But it's great. I mean, it was, you know, the people that were sailing on those very first sailings, no one cared about the ports. What they cared about was being back out on the high seas, you know, having those sunsets, breakfast out on the balconies, and just enjoying being on the ocean. And, you know, in most of these cases didn't have to wear a mask. So it was a little slice of heaven, Johnny.
I bet. And how about now? Do you have to wear a mask indoors now on these cruises, or have they dropped it?
Actually, as of March 1st, all the cruise lines essentially have dropped it. Cruise lines like Celebrity didn't have masks since they restarted in June, while other cruise lines approached it in a different way. And, you know, overall, I mean, it's really been pretty amazing considering the health protocols that they put in place. And now you have the CDC come out with two different warning level updates, which, I mean, they're just catching up with, you know, the cruise lines who had already set their programs ahead so that this way, you know, people didn't have to wear masks. And on this last cruise I was on, which was Royal Caribbean's Wonder of the Seas, it was nice to be on a Royal Caribbean ship and not have to wear a mask.
So, you know, when COVID hit, obviously cruise lines just took a huge hit. I mean, it was terrible PR, but, you know, they implemented all these things, and the CDC actually, you know, made these rules. Then they couldn't even come to America or the mainland, actually into America, right? And then they loosened up. And now that, you know, you just said they have these updates. And just this week, I think they said that, you know, the risk is not as great as they once thought. Is that correct?
Yeah, essentially, you know, they've had two updates. We went from their highest level, which is 4, down to 3 and down to 2 within 10 days. But the cruise lines already knew it. I mean, the numbers throughout this, you know, throughout the pandemic, since the restart, have been disproportionately lower than what we were seeing on land.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
And so essentially, you were safer on a cruise. I mean, everybody had to be vaccinated, passengers and crew for the most part. You know, kids, you know, under certain ages, they were being allowed, but they were not going below the CDC's requirement of 95% of all passengers. So essentially, you knew all the passengers and crew were vaccinated, and you knew everyone had to get a negative COVID test before getting on the ship. But, you know, you wouldn't see that on a plane at a hotel or a theme park.
Right. So how about now? Do all cruise lines still require you to be vaccinated or be tested?
Yes, in both cases. So
they do.
Next week when I sail on the new Discovery Princess, you know, they are still requiring everyone to be vaccinated, and everyone will have to have a negative COVID test taken within 2 days of the sailing.
So still, I mean, even so, if you're not vaccinated, you cannot cruise.
That's essentially, for the most part, yes. Correct.
Even for this summer, or unless they change the rule.
Unless they change the rules. But as of right now, if you're wanting to sail, well, or you're booking to sail, those are the current rules.
I see. Good to know. And so how has cruising changed? I mean, has it, besides having to be tested and be vaccinated, has cruising changed at all? I mean, I've been on a couple dozen cruises, but I haven't been on one in two and a half years. So, I mean, will I notice a big difference or no?
No, I mean, they're trying to minimize the inconveniences to the passengers. That's what they've tried to do throughout. On the very first sailing that I did back in June on Celebrity, because we left out of St. Martin, St. Martin was requiring all passengers and crew to be retested within 2 days of returning to St. Martin. And then, of course, to get back to the United States, we had to have tests. So all the passengers had to be tested. But those, but if you're beginning and ending from a U.S. port, those types of requirements aren't there. So you really don't notice much. So the biggest change once you got on board the ship was just wearing a mask on board. I mean, I would take it off. I mean, they were so often that I mean, there wasn't anybody within 100 feet.
Right.
So you just kind of did your thing. But when you went into closed areas, you wore the mask. When you sat down for a meal, you took it off, just like we do at did at restaurants. But this past week, it was different in that essentially you were not required to have the mask. So for the most part, it really wasn't even in your pocket anymore.
Gotcha. How about buffets? Are they still doing the traditional buffets, or are you not touching it?
No, it depends on the cruise line. At the beginning, you couldn't touch the buffet. You had to be served. Now on certain cruise lines, you're allowed to touch the buffet, but for the most part across the board, the buffets are still there. The crew would just put whatever it is that you wanted onto your plate or deliver to you. But it's just very easy. It just seems more like an enhanced service level.
Gotcha. But I mean, even before the pandemic, when I would cruise, certain lines would have someone stationed right at the door, and they would either put hand sanitizer on you or steer you to the sink to wash your hands. Do they still do that now or no?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you have the big ships. I mean, they do have the sinks, they do have the hand sanitizers, and they are very insistent that everybody wash their hands. Now, this was a pre-COVID thing, but it obviously got more attention post-COVID or
Right.
during the restart that they're really encouraging you to wash your hands.
Right. And
Seems pretty rudimentary.
agreed. I mean, I would always do it. I mean, when I would go to the buffet line, I would make a conscious effort to use, my right hand maybe to dish it out, and then I would either wash my hand, or if I didn't, I would not touch my bread or anything or my face with this hand. The
Yeah.
other hand I would eat with and things like that. And
But
I would
some people thought, well, look what they did. They must have redesigned the ship. No, it's been there. You're just
Right.
noticing
No,
it.
I know. And so have you been on board when someone has tested positive, and what happens? I mean,
Yeah.
they just quarantine that person, or they quarantine everyone who's been in contact with them?
Well, on that first sailing back in June,
Yep.
there were two passengers were discovered to have COVID. And so they were quarantined. They had they you know they did identify close contacts. They were tested. They came back negative, so they were allowed to leave the rooms. But now it's kind of changing. So throughout, I mean, yes, there were some COVID cases, but as time wore on, they became more confident and understanding of how to handle them. But passengers on board were notified. Close contacts were notified, but the rest of the ship just went on continuing to operate normally. Dining, restaurants, the entertainment
Right.
activities, shopping, everything continued to operate normally. Just those passengers affected were impacted.
I got you. And so when you're cruising, do they make you download their app so they can tell who's been in close contact or no?
Well, on some cruise lines are more technologically advanced than others. And some cruise lines, like Princess, for example, with their ocean medallions, I mean, those devices are so incredibly advanced that, I mean, they know where you're at, so they know who, came within a close distance to you. But there are apps. I mean, they do, like, if you went on a shore excursion, they knew who you were with, or you're in a lounge. I mean, they have video that they can determine, who is close by. But the numbers are the good thing is the numbers are really very, very small.
Right. I mean, I've read it. I mean, it was like 2%, if that, of people
Oh,
testing
was it even
positive.
one? That's not even one. It's not even 1%.
Okay, so it was low. I
Really
mean,
small
I
number.
mean, I knew it was way lower than it was in most cities.
Mean, I could tell you on Royal Caribbean, for example, on Royal Caribbean Celebrity and Silver Sea, in a recent investor disclosure, they essentially identified that it was 0.17% on all of their sailings over a 7 month period.
Wow.
So it's a very, very small number.
So, did you catch COVID on a ship?
Nope.
Okay. Good to
No,
know.
except for on a ship.
And but has anything come out of this? Anything positive come out of this for the cruise lines? I mean, because they had so much downtime, did they get more te technological, or did they do anything beneficial, or no?
Absolutely. They, air filtration systems on board the ships, the cleaning operations aboard the ships, the health protocols have been incredible. And we haven't seen any cases of, thankfully, of norovirus on board. And which is very important for people to understand that, we would see those epidemiologists talk about how susceptible, and the CDC, the same thing about, these things should be cesspools.
Right.
And they would use, terms like petri dishes. Well, in reality, they're right. They're all right. But the good news is that they were all wrong, because none of what they said should happen happened. And so the point is that, the laboratory world and the real world are two distinctly different places. And because of everything that the cruise lines, have undertaken, we're not seeing all these viruses and diseases on board that you would see on land. And it's amazing to see how detailed they get in these various health protocols. I mean, a lot of what they were dealing with norovirus, they were able to transcend and do this, similar cleaning procedures or using similar chemicals for coronavirus. But
Gotcha.
the good news is that these types of things don't occur as much as you think.
Right. All right. Well, let's get to some of the fun stuff. So, I just got off the I was just doing an interview with Leo Laporte, the tech guy, and he was talking about how he really wants to do a luxurious world cruise. By the way, so which by the way, which
I love money.
lines which lines are luxurious? I mean, Seabourn, Silver Sea, it used to be Crystal, but
Regent.
they're gone.
Regent.
Regent.
Those are your three remaining ultra luxury cruise lines.
So those three. Okay. I've
That's
only
it.
been on Seabourn out of those.
Okay.
But
I was just on Seabourn in December.
I mean,
Great.
Seabourn was always my favorite, but I mean, what would you say is the most luxurious?
Well, I mean, all three of them are right there.
Are they?
I like Seabourn. I mean, Regent does a great job, as does Silver Sea, which is now part of the Royal Caribbean family. I mean,
Okay.
they're three solid companies. You can't go wrong with either one, any one of them.
Gotcha. And do you have a favorite port?
Oh.
How about favorite port for the Caribbean, for Europe or Asia? Do you have any of
Oh.
those? Can you narrow
Well,
it
I mean,
down?
I tell you, in the Caribbean, I mean, Falmouth is a terrific port
Where's
in
that?
Jamaica, in
Oh,
Falmouth,
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Okay.
I just went to St. Kitts for, believe it or not, the first time on Seabourn, and they had a beach barbecue with champagne and lobster and everything
Okay.
on Canberra Beach. I was blown away how beautiful St. Kitts is, and I would absolutely, one of the nice things I like about cruising is it gives you a taste of these different destinations, and if you like them, you can go back.
Exactly.
I would definitely go back to St. Kitts.
Yeah, I've spent time there. It's a beautiful island.
It is obviously very close to Nevis, and
Curacao.
but there's a lot of things to do, Curaçao, Aruba, I guess it's like a mood, Johnny. It just depends.
Gotcha.
You're looking for active, something a little bit more relaxed, a little more upscale. Unfortunately, you have ports like Grand Cayman that have really declined over time. But I'll tell you what, which is a big shocker, is I think an up-and-coming port, believe it or not, it's going to be Nassau.
Is it?
Now that's a port that I look forward to going to when I first started cruising, let's say back in 1990. But over time, it became old, and things kind of broke down, and there really wasn't much to see. It wasn't a big deal. It was a hassle to get over to Paradise Island. But the port area is in the process of being completely rebuilt. And once that's done, that means that like Bay Street, for example, is going to have to be rebuilt to keep up with it. And they're really going for immersing people in the Bahamian experience. So there's going to be, when you get off the ship, you'll have a better, in a nice, structured manner, be able to meet Bahamian vendors. So I mean,
Gotcha.
it's they're really spending money to make Nassau, thankfully, finally, a better port option for cruise passengers.
And how was that Royal Caribbean one that you just went to? You guys stopped in Haiti, correct?
Yeah, we went to Labadee, Haiti, which is Royal Caribbean's private beach
Okay.
on the north side of the island. That was great. And we also went to Coco Key, which is in the Bahamas. And San Juan. I think that was my third or fourth time there in the last few months. So we just enjoyed the ship.
I see.
Unfortunately, San Juan is not what it used to be, and
No.
hopefully they'll make a big comeback.
Did they? I didn't realize that. I haven't been to
A lot of
San Juan in a
shops are
while.
closed, and but it's beautiful to see the El Morro Castle and
Yep.
everything lit up at night. But it's there's a lot of work to be done in the Caribbean. But I'd say one of my favorite destinations have to be the Mediterranean.
Is it? I mean, that's definitely
Greece,
why I like it.
Italy.
Which one?
Greece, Italy.
Oh,
You can't
yeah.
go wrong.
Yeah. One of my favorite destinations is in Greece. I can't remember the name of the town. It's a small town. It used to be the capital of Greece. Amazing. We had the best time. We were there in August. It was super hot, but I mean, just swimming in the water and beautiful. So, how about, so again, how about for the World Cruise? I mean, are there World Cruises available? Are they all sold
Yeah,
out? It seems like they
for
sell out like right like that.
well, they sell out. Some do pretty quickly. I mean, but there's a lot of options. 2022 was obviously still a little too soon. And understand, looking into 2023, it's going to be very interesting to see if they can actually pull it off,
Right.
because a lot of the world is still not open.
Right.
Asia, for example, is still not open to cruising or travel for that matter.
Right.
So that might hopefully it'll happen as the numbers continue to decrease and more of the world opens. But obviously a good idea. There's still availability on many different lines at
There
different
are.
price points.
That's
So
good.
if people are thinking about it, they should book it, but just know there's a chance that it may be altered or it may not happen.
Right. And how about because of COVID, I mean, do you pack any differently than you did before, or should you pack the same?
Yeah, just pack the same. You just need the same stuff. Just bring, we bring a couple extra masks. Some of the ports still require it. The Bahamas requires it. Puerto Rico requires it. So it really depends. So it's a good idea to have that, and have some hand sanitizer. I didn't usually carry it prior to COVID, but now I do. And you touch things, you put it on. You sanitize your hands, and you just move on.
How about your CDC card? Do you bring that the physical one copy or just on your phone?
You bring it on the cruise, but with your passport, you just leave it in your safe in the cabin.
Gotcha. And how about let's talk about kids. What are the best cruises for kids? I have two little ones. So I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5.5-year-old. So I was going to say, do you think they're too young? But even your kids went on when they were 6 months.
Yeah, no, there's well, and but here we are, during a pandemic, maybe a little bit different.
Right.
People may feel a little different, traveling with their kids and
Right.
obviously the destinations. But I mean, you've got the Carnivals, the Royal Caribbeans, the
D
Princess and
Disney.
Celebrity, Disney, are all excellent with kids. And it really depends on the destination, and the experience that you're looking for. They all provide very different experiences.
They do. I mean, I know you wouldn't bring a kid on a Seabourn.
Well, I could tell you my kids went on Seabourn, and there was no kids program, and they kind of enjoyed spending more time with the folks
Oh, okay.
when they got a little older and a
Right.
little more with it, and that was fine. They
Gotcha.
enjoyed some of the finer things in life.
I see. And how about like a great kids destination?
Well, I mean, you can't go wrong with the Caribbean, and a lot of these cruise ships are destination among themselves. But I could certainly tell you, I remember when let's say my daughter was 12, 13, sorry, we're standing in front of the Coliseum, and she takes a picture, and then she looks at me and says, "Dad, you realize we've been to Rome 4 times in 13 months?"
Oh my gosh, that's incredible.
So the Mediterranean is great. I mean, to be able to share history with them, and then they can go back to school and share those experiences, and well, Coliseum or the Pantheon, or going to Greece and standing on top of the Acropolis, the Parthenon in Athens, and talk about Greek mythology. I mean, it's very historical. I mean, before cruises, we've taken the kids to Israel as an example, and really kind of mixed things up. But taking them to Florence and around Italy and in different parts of Europe, and or before or after the cruise. I mean, I've taken my daughter. We went to London for a few days, Paris for a few days, and then caught the, and flew to Rome to do the cruise. And I mean, it's nice to be able to customize the experiences, but these are memories that they'll have forever.
Yeah. What's your best cruise tip? I mean, mine would be to make sure you arrive to your destination day or two before, just in case there's any delays. or cancellations,
It's a good
snowstorms?
one. I mean, certainly that, when you're traveling long distance and there are very few options should your flight be canceled. That's obviously if you're changing time zones, going cross country, going to Europe. I mean, I always at least we'll spend at least one night, if not two, in a hotel. It really makes a difference. One, especially flying from the United States to Europe. I mean, you want to be rested, and that extra day gives you some time to experience whatever city you're in, adjust the time zone. This way, you can get on your ship and enjoy it, not having to worry about picking yourself and or dragging for 2 or 3 days. Because some of these ports are very intensive in that, let's say, Rome or Livorno for Florence, that you're gone for 10 hours at a time, and you want to be in good condition. You want to enjoy it.
Definitely. And also, you don't want to be susceptible to pickpockets because they get you when you're tired. They know when you're tired. They know when you're on a packed bus or taxi or thinking of Venice, like those boat taxis.
No, it's just having all your faculties about you, and it's just good planning. But if I was flying from here to New York, I mean, I would do it the day of. Next week I'm going in the night before into LA,
And you're in
just
Miami.
because. Yeah, so just because it's just
Gotcha.
it's just nice to be to make proper plans, and going to Alaska. I mean, it's nice to go into Seattle that the day before. It just makes sense. But if you're in the same time zone, it's a couple hours. No big deal, but obviously you want to choose an airline that has, options. And obviously the time of the year, if you're dealing with the winter, where you're departing from or arriving to makes a big difference too.
Gotcha. So, two more questions. What's your dream cruise, and are there any ports that you have no desire to go to or go back to?
I'm not gonna, shun any of the ports. Some ports that I didn't like, I've gone back to over the years. And they've greatly improved them, and they've been very nice. It's nice to be open-minded. Places can change. Costa Maya in Mexico is one of those ports that I just never get off because it's kind of a fake port.
I
So
see.
I'll give you that one.
Costa Maya?
Costa Maya, Mexico. It's south of Cozumel,
Okay.
near Belize.
Okay, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah.
And how about what's your dream cruise? Would you like to do a world cruise or?
I would. I mean, not now. I mean, I don't want to be away for so long, but now with, technology the way it is, you could be away and, like you could do, I do so many TV and radio interviews over Zoom now that I don't have to fly all over the country like a madman anymore, which makes a difference. But, it's a long time. I mean, you could be on these ships for over 100 days. And but you're going to some really cool places. But someday I'm not there yet.
And
But
have you sailed across the Atlantic or the Pacific? I mean, and
sure.
how is it? I mean,
I've done transatlantic. I did a transatlantic on Queen Mary 2, maybe 5.5 years ago. It was great.
yeah.
Each day, you lose an hour as you're heading east, and it's a neat experience. You get a lot of time to spend on the ship, which is why, when you have so many sea days, it's important to be on the right ship. To me, it might be it's a good idea to be on the right size ship too, especially traveling in the Atlantic, different times. I mean, you could wind up in a big snowstorm.
And was it rough?
No, we had a lot of days of fog,
I see.
so we would have the foghorn going. But then there were some very nice days. I know people who've had clear days up and back, it was great. Or they wound up coming in to New York with about 2 feet of snow.
Right.
So it just depends on the time of the year. But it's a neat experience, and it's a neat way to travel between Europe and the United States.
And have you ever sailed the Drake Passage to
I have not
Antarctica?
done the Drake Passage.
Okay. And do you have any desire to go to Antarctica?
I would consider it now that we have more options. There's some nicer ships doing it. It's not as rough an experience. It's similar to, let's say, the Galapagos Islands wasn't on my list. And when you looked at the ships that went there, it was kind of a rougher
Right.
experience. And now you have, cruise lines like Celebrity, for example, with Celebrity Flora, which is a fabulous ship. And I wound up going there from Europe and doing a few days in the Galapagos Islands. And wow, what a ship. And it really is a very, very neat experience. So it wasn't on my bucket list, but I'm thrilled I went down and experienced a bit of it.
All right, cool. Well, Stuart, where can people find you? And you book travel, right? You book cruises.
Yeah, or you can just go to the website cruiseguide.com, and there's a great search engine there. They can see all the available cruises and destinations and everything the cruise lines are offering to destinations around the world. And it's a great resource. I do a lot of research there.
And they can
But
follow you on Twitter too.
Twitter at Cruise Guy, yeah. But going back really quick, Johnny, the number one tip is research online, but don't book online.
I was going to follow up and say, listen, I've been also telling people, you never book online. You really should have a cruise agent. And so you
Yes,
agree with that.
it makes a big difference, but a lot of times some of the best deals aren't available. So you research online, get an idea where you want to go, narrow it down to the ships, the specific sailings, but get some help because sometimes there may be some other deals on a similar ship that could save thousands of dollars and really provide a more unique experience. So I mean, there could be senior discounts, there could be resident discounts, there could be a discount for spinning in your chair 3 times. Without stopping, you never know. But that's where the agent comes in, and they're really you need someone to be able to advocate. This is for you, especially if there's a problem, which could arise. I mean, this isn't just going from LA to Miami. This is several days of your life, and it should be handled by someone that actually knows this kind of stuff.
Right, so a cruise agent can also upgrade you sometimes as well, right? And they
Well,
know
because
what.
the relationships, the company they're working with, they are, they do get free upgrades. So really it's, get the best cabin for the least amount of money.
But how about people who book like a Crystal Cruise through an agent? Did they get their money back, or are they still trying to deal with getting their money back too?
They're still dealing with it.
They
And
are.
that was something I feel horrible for a lot of people because they were the one cruise line from the very beginning, from the onset of the pandemic in March of 20, that they were telling you 90 days. And it was taking on average about 14 to 16 months for people to get their money back. And for the life of me, I don't understand why people then, kept rebooking with them, thinking everything was great. And there's a lot of people and a lot of travel agents that are out of millions of dollars.
Really? The travel agents have to pay for it.
Well, no, the travel agents themselves are owed money by Crystal too,
I
in
see.
commissions from all those sales.
I see.
And unfortunately, there's a lot of customers, the passengers that made bookings, deposits, and they're still fighting for it. And hopefully they'll get it.
So what's the red flag? So when a cruise line says we can't give you a refund for 90 days, I mean, how can you tell so this doesn't happen again?
Well, it's, I mean, one, you want to know who you're dealing business doing business with, with these cruise lines. But in that case, I mean, people didn't know. But the warning signs were, that it was taking longer than 90 days. So people that made bookings, oh, they're sailing in July, so that means everything's okay. No, that doesn't mean everything's okay. And that's why it's important to do research. Is this company actually going to be restarting? I mean, they only had a few ships, but there were a lot of tails. I wouldn't talk about them. I wouldn't promote them. I wouldn't recommend them, and I wouldn't have given them a dollar. Based on what I could tell, just in the general public with what was going on. I mean, I was having TV stations calling me from all over the country, dealing with refunds and changes, about, during the, after the shutdown in March of 20, but 90% of it was all Crystal.
Wow. And how about if you bought insurance and you do it through a third party? You never buy travel insurance through the cruise line, right? In case they go out of business.
Well, no. Well, the cruise lines are always being underwritten by another company. They're not self-insured. These are, I mean, they use different cruise. The cruise lines use different insurance policies themselves. It's not them and self-insuring. So
Okay.
we'll start there. But
Okay.
sometimes it's better. You could probably get, oftentimes find a third party, especially if you're younger, that you can find a better, more inclusive policy for less money. Because the cruise lines are, they're basing, they're basing it on the price, and not the ages, and
I
so
see.
they may their prices may be more, more hedged at a higher price at a higher age group,
Gotcha.
and so. But obviously now, you want to make sure that all of these COVID issues would be covered.
So if you booked with Crystal but bought insurance, did you get your money back?
It may not have included supplier default. I don't recall if it did.
Really? Okay. So
Yeah.
you
So
got to make sure that's in there as well.
yeah, I mean, and also, let's say looking forward, I mean, what about acts of war? So, right now, we've got Russia and Ukraine, and if you were, to sail, I mean, the Black Sea for the most part are canceled. Sailings that included St. Petersburg are canceled. But what if you're in the Mediterranean and things become worse? This it's like a hurricane. You can't get expect to be covered for a hurricane if the storm's already been named. So in this case, the war's already been, the war's already occurring, and you're sailing maybe 2 months from now. So you need to make sure that whatever policy you have, would be covered in those cases. Because I mean, the cruise line may continue the sailing and operate the sailing, but you're a little, too concerned about going to the region, and you may be in penalties. You want to find out what you're covered for.
Gotcha. Stuart, you're the man. That's why they call you the cruise guy. And before I let you go, did you film your background?
I did.
Good. I love it.
And that was on Wonder of the Seas, actually.
Just last week.
Just last week in the Bahamas.
All right.
Actually, out of San Juan.
Follow the cruise guy and hope to see you on a cruise ship.
Yeah, look forward to it.
All right, buddy. Take care.
You
Thank you.
too.